Record. Hello everyone, I am Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have Katrina with GynZone, one of the earlier founders. We've already done a past video, I'll put the link below, about just the history of GynZone, but Katrina and I wanted to talk about just the details, because in the US we have a couple options that are monthly memberships for midwifery education. We have evidence-based birth. Most of the stuff is based on a one-time, you buy the class, sometimes you get lifetime access and you get continuing education. So I really wanted to stress today all the benefits of having a very affordable month-to-month payment and what that has for you in a suturing education program. So thanks for being on today, Katrina.
Thanks for having me. So the general gist of it is that we wanted to make it really affordable, especially for students, because we want to get them while they're young and before they learn any horrible habits in their clinical training. We have users who come back instead of doing a one-time course, having this access throughout or whenever you need it, you can just reactivate your subscription. Makes it really easy for midwives to look up things when and where they need them. I need to do this particular procedure. What was it I was taught on my course 19 months ago? Who will remember? But with the subscription, and if you have the app, so you have access through your cell phone, you can just look it up right when and where you need it.
Well, and I think in the United States, we have, like, up to date, we have these research and these guidelines we go to all the time. We don't even question a membership with these type of organizations. So I think it's shifting our mind that suturing isn't just you learn it and it never changes. Like, there's guidelines and maybe you haven't done a certain type of repair in forever. Like, it getting refreshers and having opportunities to just go on the fly and say, oh my gosh, she's had three episiotomies and we think this is a big baby. Like, you proactively are like, okay, I want a refresher. I want to bump up my skills a second. Like, being able to have something you can sign in real quick with a text number and do that is very, very powerful.
What we've had for feedback is in the learning terminology, it's called just-in-time training. And we had, when we were beta testing the app before launching it, we had a surgeon from our local university hospital call us, and she was over the moon saying, I got called to a complicated third degree tear today, and I haven't done that particular procedure in like 6 months. So I gave myself a brush up course from the break room on the way to the OP, to the operating theater. Just a 2 minute double speed. What is it? We use Vitrol 2.0. We do end to end. Yes, yes, yes. I got it. And then yep. And she went in to do her surgery. Wow. And what we get from educational staff is that before performing a procedure with a student, they will take the student out of the birthing room and they'll say, so we're going to do maybe a transcutaneous pudendal block through the skin rather than through the vagina. And they will go over the video, say, what is the procedure again? And then they will go in and perform it. And the student tells us that when she's on the bus on her way home after that shift, she will rewatch the video. So you get these iterations when you're mentally the most prepped for them. And that has a great impact on your learning.
Yeah, I see the biggest impact of just the generational change for caliber of suturing education. Because, for example, in the United States, I joked it was called midwifery boot camp. So a lot of our schools are hybrid. They're mostly online for graduate as a nurse midwife. And I, over those 3 years, went twice. We went before our office training. So we had a week very intense of hands-on training for the office portion. And then you went back again before you started the full scope side. And you practiced on chicken breast and you did it for an hour and you had a small portion of one of your online classes, and that was the extent of the suturing training. Yeah. And so depending on your preceptor and how often you got the chance of seeing something like that, to have before you go in and your hand is shaking, like the first year and a half, I couldn't even talk while I was suturing. I was so nervous. So if we could get that level of anxiety down for students and that pressure we feel of, oh my gosh, I'm putting a stitch in her vagina, like that's a pretty serious, intense thing for a student. So I really am excited about just the membership and that the schools can purchase this. Like it doesn't have to be the students. And then, yeah, so my goal is to definitely push you and get you into all the midwifery schools in the United States, because I think it will put... You're going to give a refresher to the preceptor that's working with them, because they can give, the student could say, hey, I got this wonderful membership that's real time learning. Can we just glance for 2-3 minutes before we anticipate this birth? It would be a great learning opportunity for me. You're also going to get the learning where the preceptor is going to be like, holy cow, I didn't even know this existed. Or so, yeah, I'm very, very excited to see the transformation. You guys have done wonderful things in Scandinavia and Denmark and Europe, 15,000 users. We just have to get it spread more around the world.
And I think the thing is with, as you say, a lot of newly qualified, both midwives, but doctors as well, you know, they have a belly ache and their hands are shaking because they're going to do it, go in and do surgery on someone's most beautiful and intimate parts. Mm. And I think you owe it to yourselves as clinicians or as students, and also you owe it to the patients to don't train on patients. They're for treating. Mm. And you don't practice your knot tying technique on someone who just gave birth. You practice that one on your shoelace. Mm-hmm. For 6 months beforehand when on the bus. So we're very great believers in simulation training. We do with students, we put them first, we do the simple things on simple models, like doing stitches on a foam pad, and then you get your instrument handling right, you get your knots right. You don't need to complicate it even further. And then we take a student who will be the stunt patient, who goes in the gynecological chair, puts on a stunt vulva outside her panties, and then her fellow student will train on her and train, you know, getting all the things out and staying in your sterile or clean field. So all of a sudden the patient you're suturing has legs, and there's a person at the other end, you know, remember to say hello before touching people's genitals. It's maybe even touch a knee beforehand.
Given permission and having a good conversation, like practicing. It's not just the technique of suturing, it's the having the conversation of, is this hurting? Did I give you enough numbing medicine? Giving them precautionaries. You've now had a third and we're going to get you some stool softeners, and these are the things to be careful of. And like being able to talk and be casual while you're doing the suturing is quite a talent.
It is. And it's something that takes years. I'm often in the operating theater or in the delivery room with the camera. So I'll be on the shoulder of whoever is performing the surgery, and I'm watching what you're watching. And some of them I find they tend to hum when they sort of get in the sound of do, 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 and they will be, you know, doing the repair humming.
Yeah. And I think I want to preface that, because in the United States, we can't even, because of litigation, have the family do a video here. Like, it's crazy. So prefacing, you guys have changed the culture around. Like 12 years ago, you didn't have videos. You didn't have quality, detailed measures of competencies. So it's not just about the education, but the caliber of infiltrating the healthcare system of what's expected when they're new hires and reviews and even the patient involvement, like watching these videos. You guys gave me such great ideas we don't do here, of drawing a picture, like having a template of what it looks like and being more interactive to the woman, taking pictures, letting her physically see it, and very closely day 1, 3, 5, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, watching the progressive healing. Because the culture here in the United States is very few people look at her bottom after the repair unless she complains about something. it's just the cultural norm here. And so how do we give recognition that it is important to make sure the stitches didn't break down, there's too much swelling, there's something that got missed because during birth there was too much. So it's not just about the training of how to do the repair, but when you talk about the follow-up, like, I can't stress to people enough, this is the US follow-up. This is like, you can't even see my hand. Like, this is the Europe follow-up. So like, we have so much potential for improvement for our families and stressing, because it is, they want to have a good sex life afterwards. She wants to be empowered that her bottom's going to look beautiful, especially after that first baby. They're like, what just happened down there?
I think with the whole follow-up, it's what Sarah has done, because she's been the pioneer in Denmark and in Scandinavia. And I'm sure she will get in more into the postnatal clinic. We just did a webinar this morning with 100 midwives from the Netherlands talking about just that. It's spreading like wildfire. But if you turn it upside down, would you think it would be even conceivable to do genital surgery on a male and then not check up if everything had worked? And if it had not worked, would you say, oh, well, you have your beautiful children, you can still pee, maybe it'll get better in a few years? You wouldn't dream of saying something like that to a guy. But in most parts of the world, this is what we offer women. And that, I think, is slightly boggling, especially when we speak to leadership in hospitals, saying, why do we need to watch this? Well, if it was your penis, would you like us to take a look?
If you had a significant tear and it got repaired back together on your very intimate parts, wouldn't you want it to be the best of the best? And
And if something goes wrong, we can fix it. And if we do it within the first 3 weeks, the results are so much better because of this superhero thing with birthing women. They heal like, I don't know.
It's insane the level of transition that occurs. Women don't give enough recognition for our bodies and what it can do in a short amount of time.
Exactly. So there is this window after birth where if we find something wrong, we correct it, the results will be so much better. And we need to take advantage of that in clinical practice.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for what is to come with GynZone and just stressing how beneficial to have. You know, there is opportunities for one-time classes, very detailed technical skills, but the 1,000 videos and the weekly, the things you get part of the membership and what you're actually charged, like, it's a no-brainer. Like, it's an absolute no-brainer. And so I'm excited just to get the awareness exposure to the midwives in the United States and through the following that I have, just because we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what it even exists. We don't even know, like, that's half the trouble, is just getting, when there's so much information thrown at us all the time. I didn't even know this educational platform existed until 2 months ago. So like, it's one of those things where, okay, how do we make it so, okay, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, when I started practicing and doing training, why didn't I know about you? So that's where the barriers of getting that exposure changed here.
Yeah. And I mean, allow me to shamelessly plug it, because don't take our word for it. We've actually made it possible for any clinician or student to do a 7-day free trial with full access to everything we've got.
Just check it out. Yeah. If you have a whole week, you can commit and you just want to dive in deep and get what you want out of it, go right ahead. But yeah, most people are going to look at the teasers, the high level, but yeah, dive into the system for a week. So.
Yeah, so it's easy to take for a spin, and if you like it, we'll support it, and if you don't, no harm done.
Yeah.
And we want this to be accessible. We want to be not your really intensive semi-annual course. We want to be your Vulvapedia, where you go to look up, what was this weird thing again? How is it that I do with that part of pain relief?
Yeah.
Is a second degree tear supposed to look like this on day 5? You know, we want to be able to provide that information right when you need it.
Yeah. Yeah. So no real time, just touch base, look up. You're the midwife's pelvic Google. Like that's how I look at it. You are pelvic Google. So
I want to quote you on that. That needs
totally
to go
do that pelvic Google. So I just I think it's a mind shift, because when we think in the US of educational systems, we think of I'm doing a class, hopefully you retain 10% of it and you hope that you recall years later. And we have to shift. And that's where, like, even me starting Empowering Midwifery Education just a little while ago, and then learning from you guys, you're gonna help me accelerate it to the next level faster. And it's, we all want affordability and easy access to these amazing resources that midwives can really, or if there's a colleague, like, why did you do it that way? She's not going to just say, well, I read it. I did it in my class 10 years ago. She can pull up the app and she can show that person the professionalism, the credibility, the clout, the influence that we can have as midwives. So yes, I can't stress how excited I am.
I think the last tidbit, you know, to stress in this is that when you look into the research practice gap in clinical work, clever people with more PhDs than me have estimated that it takes approximately 16 years for clinical research to sort of sift slowly
into clinical practice. It's crazy to me. That's absolutely crazy to me.
And what we can do here is that when we change the guidelines for labial repair, then we change the video. And then we have that out in all of the universities and hospitals that use GynZone. We put it out there in our newsletter. When there's an interesting, they just made a new recommendation for cord clamping in Norway. For a physiological cord clamping. And we're able, with our platform, to spread that knowledge into the exact people who need to hear it. So what the technology offers us is, I hope, to sort of bridge this research practice gap and have people, have clinicians more to enable them to update their practice on a better level with higher intervals than what would be the case otherwise.
Well, I'm excited, Katrine. So go to GynZone, just log in, test the 7 days, and you're an email away. I know you do presentations for larger organizations. They can definitely get a hold of you. You're the spokeswoman for the forefront of the system. And then Sarah, who is going to be on future videos with us, is the clinical expert behind the videos. So thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.